I'm Josephine Reed from the National Endowment for the Arts with the Chairman's Corner, a weekly podcast with Marianne Carter, Chairman of the Arts Endowment. This is where we'll discuss issues of importance to the arts community and a whole lot more. From October 20th through November 10th, our Director of the Office of Accessibility, Beth Benamvenu, is writing a series on our Artworks blog, highlighting the role of the arts in improving mental and physical health, sometimes in non-traditional settings. This work is important, and the field is growing, but it's also not a new notion, is it, Marianne?
No, Joe, it's not. That's right. The arts and health have been integrated in different ways for millennia, all the way back to antiquity. But the field has grown and developed a great deal recently. And at the National Endowment for the Arts, we see this through our funding initiatives and especially through research. And it is through the lens of research that I want to explore with you, Joe, and our listeners, the topics that Beth covers in her series. Those include the arts and healthcare, arts and aging adults, and art programs in correctional facilities, all made ever more complicated, of course, by the impact of COVID-19.
Why don't we begin by talking about Beth's blog posts in a little bit more detail? We'll take them one by one, and let's start with October 20th.
Sure. In that post, Beth describes two examples of arts programs in hospitals: the Center for Performing Arts Medicine at Houston Methodist and Snow City Arts in Chicago. Both organizations use the arts to help patients as well as staff understand and manage or mitigate the intense stress and isolation they experience. And her second blog will look at the arts and our seniors, specifically the harm exacted by loneliness, a significant danger, especially in these pandemic days. And while there are many ways that older adults can stay engaged and connected during the pandemic, the arts are particularly well-suited for this purpose, with mental stimulation, physical activity, social engagement, and of course, just the pure joy of art making with others. And the last in the series, Stories about the Arts in Correctional Facilities. Beth will be writing about the ways teaching artists are reaching people in correctional facilities who are on lockdown with no visitors or in-person programs allowed. And Joe, you know, I will add, I believe I'm the first chairman to actually visit a prison. Last November, I went to San Quentin, right outside San Francisco, and I was amazed at the arts programming that this facility has, and amazed at the artists within the inmate population.
Now, Marianne, I know you wanted to focus on the research around these issues.
Yes, because arts practitioners and health researchers have a lot to learn from one another. The Office of Research and Analysis published a guide to help these two groups of professionals do just that. The National Endowment for the Arts Guide to Community Engaged Research in the Arts and Health is a blueprint for collaboration, helping professionals understand the different vocabularies used in the arts and in research. And the guide outlines the benefits for each party in collaborating with the other, and that's the point that I found so interesting.
Well, give us some examples of that.
I have some great examples. For instance, some of the ways that arts professionals help researchers is by identifying questions and issues of importance, assisting study participants to recognize how their own health is impacted by their social circumstances and their emotions, and ensuring good communication. Researchers can help art professionals to replicate successful programs and attract support from funders and policymakers.
Now, I know the research team created a document called Staying Engaged: Health Patterns of Older Adults Who Participate in the Arts. Fill us in about that one.
That is a valuable resource that looks at arts participation habits, attitudes towards the arts, and health characteristics of adults age 55 and older. And it finds that older adults who create art and attend arts events have better health outcomes than adults who do neither. Specifically, two of the report's findings are older adults who both created art and attended arts events reported higher cognitive functioning and lower rates of both hypertension and physical limitations than did adults who never created nor attended art. And also, among those who both created and attended, cognitive functioning scores were 7 times higher than for adults who did neither type of arts activity.
Wow. And as you mentioned, the Arts Endowment has had a partnership for over 30 years with the Federal Bureau of Prisons to support arts programs.
Yes. And as part of that partnership, the Arts Endowment conducted a literature review called the Prison Arts Resource Project that includes studies that evaluate the impact of arts programs in U.S. correctional settings for both adults and juveniles. And I should add that just last year, the Arts Endowment, partnering with Arts Midwest, one of our regionals, added a funding track in our Shakespeare in American Communities initiative that supports theater education for young people within the juvenile justice system. And there's a great story in our magazine from last year called What Light Through Yonder Correctional Facility Window Breaks. The article features two veteran prison arts educators who describe their strong belief in the power of theater and its value to rehabilitation because theater requires actors to understand the identity and the truth of the characters they portray.
Well, Marianne, that's a good place to leave it. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe.
That was Marianne Carter, chairman of the National Endowment for the Arts. Keep up with all the work of the Arts Endowment by going to arts.gov or by following us on Twitter at NEA Arts. For the National Endowment for the Arts, I'm Josephine Reed. Stay safe, and thanks for listening.